So there will still be a place for outdoor ads, especially for big branding plays, movie promotions, highway billboards. But as people walk around outside now, they're much more likely to be looking at their phones probably than they are at physical ads around them.
Hey gang, it's Monday, November 1st. Peter and listeners, welcome to the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Tinuiti. I'm Marcus, today I'm joined by one of our senior forecasting analysts. He goes by Peter Varley.
Thanks for having me, Marcus.
Hey chap, thanks for hanging out. Today's fact, this is terrifying. Penguins used to be 6 feet tall. So horrible to think about. So those tiny tuxedo birds that we know and love today used to be a lot bigger. That's an understatement. According to a 2017 report published in Nature Communications, there's evidence that extinct Kumimanu bisei penguins once stood close to 6 feet tall and weighed over 200 pounds. If you're thinking, I don't really know what that means, Marcus, but I do watch football, it means that they'd be the size of all-star Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey.
Wow.
That's too big.
How big are king penguins? Are they 4 feet tall?
Oh, good. That's a good question. How tall? Let's look it up. Live research. How tall is the average
king penguin? It's got to be a king.
Oh, you want a king?
The big ones. Because I think those are the tallest. I don't think anything's bigger than that.
We've got 3 feet.
Okay. So half the size of those
goodness.
Monsters.
They used to be double the size of what they currently are. There's a penguin that they found some evidence that they used to be in a thing that's bigger. I think it was 6'5". At that point, I stopped reading. Okay, I don't need to know about that. 6 foot's big enough. Thank you very much. Today's real fact, how ad spending in America is changing. So, Peter, we just updated our US ad spending numbers that you worked on. I said we. I didn't do anything. But Peter did, and some colleagues of his on the forecasting team. And we're going to play a game called Explain Yourself. So I went through each of the different media channels, digital, TV, radio, etc. There's others, and pulled out what I thought was the most interesting number from our forecasts. So maybe a milestone number or a number that I just found surprising. So I'm going to tell you what numbers stood out to me, and then Peter is going to explain them for us. So let's do it. The first line item has to be digital because it makes up most of the advertising pie at this point. Ad spend, digital ad spend will grow 38% this year, Peter, as you forecast. That's up from 15% last year. So 15% last year, 2020, 38% bump this year, a spike, you could argue. Peter, what are the major contributors towards this growth rate?
Yeah, so I just want to highlight that this is the strongest digital ad spend growth that we have for any year of our forecast. And our forecast goes back to 2008. So really, it's a remarkable year. That 38% growth means that the digital ad market will be over $200 billion. And that's the first time that spend has ever reached those levels. So there's a couple of things really that we're seeing.
And you said over 200 billion. I have to point out it was at 150 last year. So
yeah,
it's just smashed through the 200 billion market, 211. So 152 last year to $211 billion in digital ad spend.
Yeah. And I wrote down the difference. $58 billion. That's the increase over 2020. So it's,
my gosh,
it's phenomenal. The digital ad market is red hot. And there's a couple obvious reasons that, you know, I think are worth reminding everyone up top. And that's the pandemic caused digital transformation to accelerate. People are doing much more online in general than they did before the pandemic. Also, advertising had a down year last year, and that emphasizes the gains that we're seeing this year. There's a lot of pent-up demand among advertisers, and there's also a lot of pent-up consumer spending, which is something that advertisers like to take advantage of, essentially. So there's also the return of in-person events, sports, in-store shopping, all sorts of these things that slowed down last year and are another main reason why advertisers are returning to spend across the board, but we're seeing predominantly in digital channels.
Within digital, I mean, we break out a whole host of things. We've got the different players. You've got the Googles, the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Twitters, etc. We've got the formats as well, your searches, your displays, things like that. Was there something that jumped out to you when you kind of looked under the hood of digital with this current update? I mean, we're in the midst of the kind of Q3 earnings coming out, so we would have taken into consideration the Q1 and the Q2 numbers from these different companies. But was there a figure, a format, a company that really kind of jumped out in terms of them doing something interesting?
Yeah, that's right. We actually have not taken into account Q3 for this update, and that's just because they didn't come out at the time that we were updating this. But so far, the earnings for Q3 that we've looked at are very, very close to our estimates, which is a great sign. Mm. It means our forecast has been really on the mark so far. But yeah, to answer your question specifically, one of the most interesting things is that the triopoly, so that's Google, Facebook, and Amazon, actually will gain share this year of the overall digital ad market, which seems next to impossible given that they already represented over 2/3 of the market last year. But this year, they'll account for about 70% of digital ad spend. So $7 in $10 that are spent on digital advertising will go to one of those three companies. And just to call out some growth rates, Google, US ad revenue up 37%, we're forecasting. Facebook up 32% and Amazon up 56%. So you can see Amazon, which is a smaller player out of those three, but growing 56%. So it's really massively growing its dollars. And a lot of that is search advertising on its website. Mm-hmm. So product listings. And we know that it's the leader in the e-commerce channel space, which is one of the really hot areas for advertising.
You know, so the triopoly, Facebook, Amazon, Google, making up 7 out of 10 of the digital ad dollars. Another 7 out of 10 number is digital makes up 7 out of 10 of the overall ad market. 70% of all the dollars advertisers spend on advertising goes to digital, and somehow that's going to keep growing in the next couple of years. Let's turn to mobile for a second. Peter, mobile ad spending accounts for 47% of all US ad spending, not just of digital, of all ad spending dollars in the US, 47% go to mobile. When will it reach 50? And what's mobile's ceiling in terms of its share of the total ad pie?
Good question. So by the end of 2023, mobile ad spending will reach over 50% of total media ad spending.
Okay.
And then growth after 2023 will fall to single digits. So what's interesting about mobile's share is that in our update, it's actually at least a couple percentage points lower as a share of the overall market than it was before the pandemic. And one of the things that has caused that is the rise in CTV advertising, which is attracting a lot of the dollars that we previously thought were going to go to mobile formats. But now CTV and all of the opportunities there are eating up a larger share of the pie. So that's actually causing there to be a slightly lower ceiling for mobile than we previously had expected.
Okay, that is interesting. Were there any numbers that jumped out to you with regards to CTV with this update?
Well, CTV is going to grow stronger this year than we expected. We have growth now up to 60% this year. There's a couple players that are really driving that. Roku, which is the third biggest player right now behind Hulu and YouTube. But Roku is doing a really good job monetizing their operating system and the content that is on their TVs. They also have an ad-supported channel called the Roku Channel, which is gaining a lot of advertising dollars, doing really well there. And then you have some of the smaller players like Pluto and Tubi who are growing over 100% each. And they're small, but they're on track to both be over $1 billion in the next couple of years.
Okay. Let's move to TV, which is the dominant player in the traditional advertising space, accounting for just over 20% of all the ad dollars in the country. Pre-pandemic, it was accounting for 30% of all the ad dollars. So from 30 to 20 in the last couple of years. But advertisers will still spend $65 billion on TV ads this year. Peter, that's the same amount they spent in 2012. So same amount of money. It's gone up and down a tiny bit. You know, it's fluctuated. But by and large, $65 billion in 2012 spent on TV ads, $65 billion 9 years later spent on TV ads this year. Its resilience in the face of the shift to digital has been remarkable. However, TV ad spending contracted by 12 points last year, negative 12. That will bounce back to plus 5 this year, plus 3% growth for TV ad spending next year. before falling by 1 percentage point in 2023. Peter, is 2023 the beginning of the downward trajectory for TV ad spending that I think a lot of people have been anticipating for a long time?
Yeah, so looking at the next couple of years, we see an interesting development. So next year, TV ad spending will be relatively flat. It'll be up just 3%. And that 3% growth is coming partly from a couple big things, mainly the World Cup and the Winter Olympics, which we know are big events that draw a lot of advertising dollars to traditional TV. You know, those are kind of marquee events for television advertising. And then looking beyond that, you have down in 2023, like you said, and then slightly back up in the next year because of political advertising. But beyond that, we're not expecting any resurgence in growth. So flat to declining is sort of the story. You know, it has gotten a little wonky around the pandemic with various trends, but we don't expect there to be a return to TV advertising growth, at least nothing substantial, because a lot of their efforts are now focused on their digital platforms. You know, they're trying to get advertisers to spend more and more money on Pluto, like I mentioned before, or Tubi, which are part of these big cable media businesses. So, you know, even if they're losing some ad dollars in their traditional business, they might be making up at least part of those declines on their digital assets.
Yeah. Let's rattle through the last few media channels really quickly. We've got print, which accounts for just over 3% of the ad pie. Radio, also just over 3%, and out of home, just over 2%. So collectively making up about 8 or 9% of the ad market. But let's talk about them each in turn for a quick second here. Print, the declines for print newspaper, we say newspaper and magazine makes up our print number. The declines for print newspaper ad spend have been somewhat worse than the declines for print magazine ad spend. Newspaper, Peter, you were telling me is down 16 points, magazine down 10 points this year. Why is that?
Yeah, for newspaper, it's really because people are consuming their news online and in various ways. They're turning away from print. There's less foot traffic in general still, by and large, this year. So, you know, there's not as many ad dollars going to print newspaper. Magazine doing slightly better. And that's partly a product of magazine declines being so steep last year that the rebound is sort of happening this year, and things are netting out.
Okay. With radio, radio ad spend has been around $14 to $15 billion for the past decade. It's kind of hovered around the 14 to 15 mark. 2019 to 2020, there was a real step change. It goes from 14 down to 10. Peter, why did the pandemic hit radio so hard?
Traditional radio got pummeled when people stopped traveling and commuting, right? More time spent in the house means less time listening to the radio in the car, means less radio advertising. And while we're seeing a rebound for radio this year and even next year, we don't expect ad spend to ever reach pre-pandemic levels. A lot of it is shifting to digital audio. But keep in mind for context that digital audio spend is only about half of traditional radio spend. However, that number will continue to climb over time.
So radio ad spend is $11 billion today. It will be $11 billion pretty much in 4 years' time. This resilience in radio, are we assuming that's just because people have emerged from their homes and are going to be out more? They won't be driving as much as they were, perhaps, you know, with commutes kind of going away for a sizable slice of the population. But is that what speaks to the resilience of radio ad spend?
I think that's partly it. I think that another reason is that digital audio companies have had a really, really hard time sort of infiltrating the car and that listening environment.
Yep. Great point. Let's finish with out-of-home ad spending. Fell 30%, 3-0 last year. This year, it will gain 13% back. So it fell 30, will come back 13 this year. But according to our numbers, it can only get back to 86% of its pre-pandemic levels by 2025. So by 2025, just 86% of where it was pre-pandemic. Peter, what's our thinking here?
Our thinking is that advertisers have discovered the rich opportunities that exist elsewhere in digital media that provide them with more data to measure their return on ad investment. So there will still be a place for outdoor ads, especially for big branding plays, movie promotions, highway billboards. But as people walk around outside now, they're much more likely to be looking at their phones probably than they are at physical ads around them. So advertisers are following people's eyes and our attention.
Yeah. ads, cars coming at them, bikes, whatever, you know, whatever else that could potentially kill them dead, I'd rather look at my phone.
Yeah.
That's what we've got time for the lead story. It's time now for the halftime report. Peter, your takeaway from the show.
My main takeaway is that digital ad spending growing 38% is just remarkable. And, you know, we've seen with recent company reports, Google, Facebook, Snapchat, all of them posting really strong Q3 earnings, just that there's a lot of talk about the digital ad market slowing down or being in rough shape right now with trouble in the economy and with the Apple iOS updates and all those things may be affecting the market. But either way, ad dollars are growing really, really strongly, especially in the digital channels.
Excellent point, sir. Time now for In Other News, but first a quick word from our sponsor, Tinuiti. It's time to stop thinking about brand and performance separately. The funnel has collapsed. Brand and performance are now one. With top-notch marketing, you can go from awareness to click in a few seconds. That means you can sell as you brand and brand as you sell. Rethink performance with Tinuiti, the largest independent performance marketing firm across streaming TV and the triopoly of Google, Facebook, and Amazon. Find out how at rethinkperformance.com. All right, folks, we are back today in other news. Gen Z ad preferences and Apple Podcast in-app subscriptions. Story one, Text Now, a mobile app that offers free cellular and Wi-Fi service supported by mobile advertising, unveils new findings into Gen Z ad preferences. It found five things. Number one, Gen Zs are likely to buy something from a brand if its ad includes topics like mental health advocacy, public health, sustainability, racial equality, and LGBTQ plus acceptance. Number two, nearly half of these Gen Z people think they have some sort of influence, even if it's within their small circle. Number three, marketers must offer greater incentives to get their personal information. Number four, social media is the channel to reach them. Number five, don't try and create a viral video just for the sake of it. They don't like it. Peter, which of these findings jumped out to you and why?
Gen Z grew up in an environment where you could access anything, really, just the only cost being advertising. You have to watch some advertisements. So they've been exposed to endless digital advertising. And I think that also makes them the least tolerant for some bad forms of advertising. I think they can smell it from a mile away. But one thing that stood out to me from the TextNow study was when they said that, quote, brand marketers should steer away from advertising that appears to simply jump on the viral video trend, as 40.5% turn away from this initiative. Influencers or memes also turn away respondents, as well as irrelevant and non-personalized ads. I mean, these are things that seem like what are the best practices for advertising, using influencers and trying to get on the TikTok viral train. So it's really interesting to hear that Gen Z says that this turns them off and they don't see it as sincere advertisements. If this is true, then it means that advertisers' jobs are much harder than they thought they were even before this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Story two. In June, Apple Podcasts started offering in-app subscriptions where listeners can pay to support shows and networks for access to ad-free content. They could also enjoy early access to episodes or pay to access a channel. But since in-app subscriptions launched, the podcasters say the platform has failed them in various ways, notes Ashley Carmen of The Verge. The back end is a mess, and the platform to use the subscriptions, Apple Podcasts Connect, has a confusing interface. Peter, what do you make of this news, and what do we expect from podcast subscriptions in general?
So podcast subscriptions are most certainly a work in progress. This is a totally new type of subscription that has not been proven in the market. So even with two of the digital audio giants, Spotify, and as you mentioned, obviously Apple, going out this and pouring a ton of resources into this and really publicizing it pretty widely, there's no proof that this is going to be a success. And so far, we've seen that both companies have had a tough time really getting people to adopt this and sign up for it. And not only do they have to worry about people signing up, but they also have to worry about, you know, making the actual podcast creators happy and satisfied and make sure that the experience is great on their end. So Some of these issues with Apple are pretty concerning. I mean, ranging from downloading issues, publishing delays, really complex back-end management requirements for the podcast creators. So not a great sign. And especially, you know, now with all of the exclusivity that's out there in the podcast market, it's more important than ever for these companies to make sure that they're treating their creators well.
Yeah, absolutely. Ms. Carmen of The Verge was noting RSS allows for a centralized place to publish to all podcasting platforms. But with this new subscription product, podcasters have to publish to a variety of places and manage various backends as well. A tall order for small teams. That may be okay for big podcasting networks, but for small podcasts, which is most of them, it can be a tall order. And then number two, Spotify, also looking at subscription podcasts, but hasn't yet built an in-app button. It makes podcasters link to an external anchor page, company it owns, where listeners can pay. So I think work in progress, as you said, Peter, is spot on. That's all we've got time for today's episode. Thank you so much, Peter, for hanging out.
Thanks so much, Marcus. Fun time as always.
Yes, sir. Thank you to Victoria. She edits the show. Thanks to everyone listening. And we'll see you guys tomorrow for the Behind the Numbers Daily, an eMarketer podcast made possible by Tinuiti.